put on my glasses so I look smart.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, folks, to another Membership Machine Show. I've got my special but regular co-host on the shows, Kurt, and in, and we're just going to do the countdown and we're going to go straight into it. So, 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 70. In this show, we're going to be talking about selling your online course without a fan base or without spending money on Facebook or Google ads. Is it possible to get your course off the ground and get your first students in without a fan base or without spending a ton of money on ads? I think it's possible with some provisos. We're going to have some straight talking here, which you don't find in a lot of online resources. I've got my special co-host, but he's a semi-regular, but not every week, though. I've got Kurt with me. He's got a tremendous amount of experience in some aspects of this, and I'm sure he's going to have some great insights about it. So, Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure thing, Jonathan. My name's Kurt von Annen. I own an agency called Manana No Mas. I specialize membership and learning websites and helping people grow their communities. And I work directly with Jonathan at WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS.
That's great. And like I say, I think I've got some great insights, but it's going to be a little bit controversial, this show, because I also think there's a lot of misleading information out there that will not benefit you. My main proviso in this show is obviously to promote myself and the WP Tonic business, but the main thing is to give you grounded information that's based on a ton of experience me and Kirk have. So you're going to really find this show really useful. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this discussion, I've got a couple major sponsors of the show. We will be back in a few moments, folks. 3, 2, 1. We're coming back, folks. Just want to point out that we've got a great Facebook group, the Membership Machine Facebook group. If you're looking for any advice about these discussions or any ongoing advice about the right plugins or other online technology, you can join this group for free. Me and Kirk are regularly on there, and we've got a great group of WordPress and people trying to build a membership website. So go to the Membership Machine Facebook group and join us there. So the title of this show, Selling Online Course Without Having a Fan Base and Spending Money on Ads. So you haven't got a tremendous social media presence. So I think before I go off, I think I'm going to turn this over. No, I asked you to watch a couple of videos before we had this discussion. And what are your initial thoughts? Is it possible to get your course going, getting the wheel turning, if you haven't got a large fan base or you're not spending a lot of money on paid advertising, Kirk? What's your initial response to the title?
My initial response to the title is that it's not only possible, but it's imperative. And I say this, people think I'm going to be such a jerk on the show, Jonathan, because I'm kind of blunt about a lot of things. But there's a way.
You're Mr. Charming compared to me.
I do try to be diplomatic, but this particular topic is difficult because you and I have clientele that come to us with, I've got a great idea. And I read online that there's a $1 trillion industry in the online training world and I'm going to be a millionaire. And it's like, that's not how the internet works. That's not whatever these gurus told you on YouTube. That's not real. Like everything I do, and I talk about this in my personal channels quite a bit, it's like leadership and playing the long game and knowing that there's work to be done, hard work to get you where you need to go. I think some of the video content you shared with me before this show, kind of re-edifies that. It says, hey, establish a community first. To your point, you always say, don't write War and Peace and then try and sell that, you know? Put some content out, put some feelers out, do some samples, and maybe you don't follow exactly the blueprint that's put out, you know, as illustrated in the videos that we watched before this show, but have a strategy, have a sampling or a tasting strategy so that you can build the right audience for the right message and the right offer.
Right. I totally agree with your outline. I think this show was spurred on, folks, by a lot of videos I watch to give me ideas about what we're going to be discussing in this podcast. And I've been infuriated by the misleading information out there, which is damaging to the whole concept of building a thriving and ongoing membership educational business, which is still totally possible. But you've got to be realistic, folks. It is going to take time and work. There are no easy shortcuts. I'm probably cutting my throat by saying this because there does seem to be a lot of people out there that want the message that this is going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, folks, but it's totally doable. You just got to be realistic, folks. But we're here, this show is here to help you on the journey. So let's start off with what I call the unique selling proposition, USP. And we've covered this in previous shows, so do listen to the past episodes. And basically this is about is that there's two things you really need, I think. You've got the painkiller vitamin argument, which comes from the startup world. It's best that you're dealing, if it's going to be your first course, it's best that it's dealing with a pain point. And the second thing is there should be some degree of urgency on why the person is needing a pain to be resolved. If there's no urgency, you know, we're all looking for excuses not to buy something. We do. But we buy things because we think they're going to solve a problem or they're aspirational. There's normally more urgency if it's dealing with a pain point. But how do you find the subject that's going to be the core element of your initial course? Well, this is the good news, is that the research that you do to find out what is going to be the core center of your spoke, the core thing that your initial course is going to solve, the research that you're going to do will enable you to build relationships with people that can be your first list of people that you approach to be part of your initial course. And where I disagree is you do not want your initial course to be the end game, because if this is your first go at this, the idea that this is going to be an enormous success and make enormous change in yours and your family's life it isn't going to happen. It's a lie. But if you do it by stage, by stage, by stage, it can lead to that end result, and it's totally, utterly achievable. And you can't say that with a lot of these internet guru and these schemes, folks. Most of it is utter lie and dribble. This isn't, but we've got to be realistic. What's your initial response to what I've just outlined, Kurt?
Well, I like what you said about it's not the end. Like what you're working towards is not the end. And I think it's important to kind of framework this episode as we're talking to people that are brand new to, like, I'm going to start an online course. If you've already got three courses up and you're struggling to get people into your site, that's probably a different episode, or maybe you're going to reverse engineer some things we'll talk about today. But if you're just getting started, it's really important to follow some kind of strategy or game plan and know that as you release your course, what drives the revenue and what drives the growth in these online courses is the connection and the relationship that you have with your community. And so maybe you end up upselling and doing some one-on-one coaching time, or maybe you expand your course into, you know, a larger, you know, longer duration course, or there's always some kind of tweak or addition that you can do that helps drive the revenue on a different channel. And so I think what Jonathan's saying here is, let's get you started. Let's get you out of the block and getting that first lap down so that you can get the dopamine hit of a success and then move on to the next thing and grow.
Yeah. And we're not selling you here a $6,000 course telling you that you can do this in a month. It isn't going to happen, folks. What I'm outlining here is probably a six-month process minimum. And it might be a bit longer, but it can be achieved in a six-month period. What I, if I was in your shoes, would honestly do. So you need, you got your area of expertise that you think you can offer some value. And then you need to do some market research. You do not just want to build out your initial course based on what you think your target audience might like. You can go down that path, folks, but I think you're going. It's going to actually. It might deter you. It's not going to be the success, in my opinion, that you think, and it might deter you from continuing when you get a negative result. I think if you can push through and learn from it, I think that's great. But we're here so you don't make that a first initial mistake. So you need to find out, you need to join online groups of people that are in the area that your first course is going to be about. And then you need to, God gave you two ears and just one mouth for a reason. And initially you need to join those groups and listen more than you post, but then try and be a bit helpful and be part of the discussions. But you need to write down what are some of the key problems that people are talking about time after time in these groups. Facebook groups is a great resource, but also joining LinkedIn and doing searches through LinkedIn. Kurt is an expert on LinkedIn. He's wrote a course on LinkedIn and he's built his business utilizing LinkedIn. So he's the guy to, if you want to know more about LinkedIn, he's the guy to approach. You can do the same with YouTube. You can do searches on what are the most popular YouTube and what are the people making these YouTube videos, what are they discussing? And Reddit, I can never pronounce that. That's a great resource. I think Reddit and Facebook groups are two really fantastic areas. But what I've listed, and Twitter, you can do, I think Facebook groups and Reddit are two forum type scenarios where LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitter, you can just see what people are talking about and the problems that they're talking about. But this is a great resource to find out in the niche area that you're going to do your first course in, what are the problems that people are talking about? And then you can be part of that discussion. Before I go on to the next step, what's your response to that, Kurt?
My initial response, Jonathan, is that if you tell folks to go to Facebook groups and to go to Twitter and to go to YouTube, that you're actually encouraging them to push that lazy button. There's so much more to social than that. So yes, be involved in your Facebook group, grow your LinkedIn account, but don't be afraid to like engage them in the private messaging. Don't be afraid to introduce yourself to somebody that seems like a player in that space you know, hit them on the direct message and say, hey, I saw a couple of your posts. I thought those were valuable. Do you, you know, blah, blah, blah. You want to start bridging relationships with people that are already moving and shaking in those spaces. So don't just observe and kind of soak it in. That's good, right? But remember, this takes time and your time is worth money. And so you can't get to where you're spending 4 or 5 hours a day just kind of surfing social and not getting ahead.
Well, you've taken the words out of my mouth. I totally agree. That was going to be step two. So I totally agree with what Kirk's outlined. So that was going to be step two. You observe first, then you get in discussions, you DM these people.
And I want to be super clear about another thing, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be active. I mean, go to a local chamber meeting, go to a local meetup group, get on meetup.com and find out where the entrepreneurs in your community are getting together. Because even though it might not be your niche, you're going to soak up that energy and those connections from that group in a live face-to-face handshake environment, which gives you more of that energy you need for your social work.
Yeah, I totally agree. It depends on what your niche is, but I think if it's the kind of niche that joining local groups can, you can benefit by the research that you're doing. So you listened, you've written down what are some of the key problems that maybe your first course should cover. You're getting in some discussions, you're direct messaging some of these people. Where I disagree with a lot of the gurus out there, because you're going to come across two or three other videos if you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening on iTunes or Spotify, this podcast, there are people out there that say that you should engage in 50 to 100 people and you'd be able to do this in a month. It's cobblers, folks. You cannot do this in a month. If you're doing it 9 hours a day, and I presume that you've got some full-time employment and you're trying to do this as a side hustle, it just isn't, and you've got family, other commitments. It is not possible. That's why I say that this is probably a 6-month, and you're not getting what you're trying to do is this, folks, and this is my spin on it. I think the next step is to develop a really quality lead magnet that is based on some of the problems that you have observed. And this could be a PDF that answers a list of the problems that you observed based on the niche that your course is going to be about in a lot, and your course is going to delve in a bit more detail. These are quick answers to questions and problems that you observed. So it's going to be a PDF, probably, a downloadable PDF. And you set up a landing page on the website that you're going to build the course on. And all you ask is their name and email. And what you do is on social media, on forums, and it does depend. I think that most groups, Facebook groups and other platforms that we've listed, if you've got a free informational product and you're offering it, you are not going to be barred from those groups because you're just offering a free resource. And you can just say, well, I've just published it. And you're going to have to keep periodically saying that you're offering this free resource. And people sign up, and that will be your initial contact list that when you build your course, you can outreach to these people. What do you think of what I've just outlined, Kurt?
I like that strategy. I'm a little less apt to post unwarranted links in people's Facebook groups. I tend to do more on the relationship side and then share that link, you know, in a direct message later when it's appropriate. But I always struggle with this, and bear with me on this one, Jonathan. This is why I say everything with me is the long game. I want to become a part of that community before I try to, I want to add value to that community and show that I'm a member of that community before I try and extricate what I can out of that community. You know what I mean? Like, I
believe it's a balance, Kurt, but
yeah,
obviously we didn't go into a lot of depth of what we were going to discuss. I gave you some resources, but what this is about, Kurt, is this is not building up a massive email list. This is about getting, this is getting 12 to 20 people to sign up, approach them, and they can be your, and then you offer these people a discount to your course and get, they will be your first batch of students. So you get your first initial, and then you can talk to these people and get feedback about your course, because you're going to have to modify your course, because this is your beta course. This is your course to get feedback from students, from users, and then from that feedback, how useful did they find the information? What problems weren't covered by the course that, if they were covered, would make the course better? This is why getting your first group of students is so important, because less, and having, and these people, when you improve the course, or you might, your next course, which will be based on the feedback, these initial people could be your evangelizers that talk about their experience, and they're very optimistic about this other course. Can you see how this all kind of works together, Kurt?
Yeah, and I think one of the key takeaways in what you just said there was the number, right? It's, people think they have to deal with thousands of people, but you know, as long as you're not selling some Udemy course for $19, if you're selling something that is really going to deliver value, and it's a few hundred to a few thousand dollars, 10, 12 people, 15 people is enough to get you launched and get you going and do that proof of concept, exercise it, even if you discount their entry and move to the next stages.
Well, the first course, folks, I would advise you not to aim it at, I would advise it to be priced and do your minimum, what in the startup world, folks, is called your minimum viable product. I, in the membership world, I call it the, your minimum viable course. I think I'm talking about a course that only covers one main pain point in a subject, and then gives direct guidance in the lessons to get an end result, and which then can be a component in a larger course that delves into more areas. So it's modularized. But I think your course, which you're getting these first batch of students through, should be your minimum viable course. That's my stance on that, Kurt. What do you reckon?
I'm with you. I'll go with you.
So what I'm talking about is a more staggered approach, folks. And there's a little bit, those influencers that say you can just throw up an initial course if you follow them and give them $6,000+ and it's all going to be fine and it's the key to success. They're misleading you, folks. It's, if you want a pathway that will lead to success, it's staggered. And there's a certain pathway that can't guarantee you success, but reduces the chances of failure. And that's what I'm attempting to outline in this, in this show, basically. So let's go to step three, optimize your authority. And I think, because your experience on LinkedIn, how would you apply this to LinkedIn? How do you optimize your authority? Because I think we can apply these principles to other social media platforms. So how would you do this on LinkedIn, Kurt?
The question is, how do I demonstrate my authority on LinkedIn?
Optimize my authority.
optimizing the authority, and this is going to sound kind of sideways too. I don't just post on LinkedIn, like, look how great I am, look how great I am, look how great I am. That really turns folks off. What I do is I jump into other people's posts and I add solutions or input or resources for other people to gain value. And if you do that on a frequent enough basis with consistency, it actually begins to change the tide. That's how you know your authority is working, because then people will start to put posts in and actually tag you in the post and say, hey, I'm looking for information on X, Y, and Z. Kurt, do you have any ideas? And that's when that happens, I'm like, it's working. You know, my authority in this niche, my authority in this vertical is beginning to take hold. And the more that you can interact, especially with people that have a decent following in that space, the more authority you're going to drive. And then, of course, you have your own posts, which focus on your niche or what your goals are. But again, I'm real careful to, I don't want to jump on and just be the banging my own horn all the time. I want to be able to have other people bang that for me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But I think there's two areas to it. There's the area that Kurt's just outlined, which I totally agree. But there's also, you really got to set up your LinkedIn, your YouTube channel.
Profile page, yeah, set it up.
Everything's got to be set up. And really, this is the other reason why you want a lead magnet. Lead magnet, and have a link in your profiles that goes to the lead magnet. Because these people are the people that you're going to pre-sell to. And everything should be to drive people to a quality that offers some real value. Otherwise, they're not going to sign up for the lead magnet. And don't ask on the landing page. Just ask for their first name and email. Don't ask for any more information.
Because
they're not going to give it, basically, folks. But people, if it's targeted at the right audience and in the landing page, the research you've done on the social media platforms to find out what are the key problems, the patterns that you observe, which is also going to inform you on your minimum viable course, are going to things that are going to enable you to have the right copy on your landing page that gets them to sign up, to download it and give. Can you see how all this is linked, folks? It's a kind of jigsaw puzzle. And it's getting it's not jet science, folks, but it's getting the bits together. And like I say, people are charging $6,000 plus for the information we're sharing for free in this podcast. All right. So in all your setting up your LinkedIn homepage, your YouTube, there should be a link to, and it should be clear what you are the expert on, and you need some decent photos of yourself, and it should be totally clear what you are the expert in, and you should have the link to the landing page, because you're trying to build up your pre-sale list, and that's or your initial buyers list. So the two things are linked. I've got this as 4 and 5, but they're really intertwined. I think it's a good place for us to go for our mid break. I think we've had a good discussion, or I've waffled on, and we will be back in a few moments, folks. 3, 2, 1. We're coming back, folks. Hopefully me and Kirk have given you some great info that gives you a kind of layout, outline of how you really truly approach getting a successful launch of your first minimum viable course, your minimum viable product, but I call it your minimum viable course, and how you can get the wheel moving without having an enormous fan base or spending a ton of money on ads, which until you go through this process will probably be a total waste of money anyway. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of the second half, I just want to point out we've got a great newsletter. You can get this newsletter that gives you advice on membership and also gives you some latest weekly tech news stories all mixed up into a nice consumable newsletter. To get this freebie, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/newsletter. wp-tonic.com/newsletter. And I write it myself, folks. I do it every week for you. So sign up, and I think you'll really love it. So, as I covered, I think you can see how my mind's going now. Because I, like I say, Kurt watched some of the videos that kind of influenced me about this show. But I think you can now see how my devious mind is working, can't you, Kurt?
Yeah. For me, my biggest thing when I jump online and I scroll through and I'm doing my thing, is all these people jump on and want to give everybody the easy button. They think everybody wants this easy button, and then they convince people there is an easy button when there isn't. Like, it's all a long game. You've got to do the work. You've got to put in the effort.
If you want a sustainable business that makes a difference to your life as a good second income or the possibility of replacing your job, or you want a good second income that provides benefits for you and your family, it's a medium long game, isn't it?
Yeah. And I like that, you know, you pointed out, you know, plan on 6 months. When I saw that video that you referred me to, and she was like, you can get 50 Zoom interviews with complete strangers done in a month. I was like, it would take me, and I'm Jonathan.
In your experience, you've been, yeah. And I'm not a shy person. In no shape or form is that ever going to happen, is it? Unless it just ain't going to happen, is it?
Unless you're paying people. Unless you're saying, I'll give you $50 to jump on a call with me. But then you're not getting the organic material that you're really looking for. So if you want real relational organic material that you're going to get from a future audience, and you're starting now from scratch, you cannot get into this process, get in 30, 45 days, and then beat yourself up because you're not done yet. It's, you know, I think 3 to 6 months is where you're looking at to do this real, you know, ideal customer analysis kind of thing. And then it's probably another 30, 60 days to really build that curriculum outline to match what you find in your discovery.
Yeah, 30 days, folks, not 6 months to a year, which I've had clients, and they've built fabulous courses, but they haven't done any of this. And then they launch, and it's crickets, folks. And I feel sorry for them, but I advise, I try influence. But there's a lot of influencers out there, folks, that are just telling you crap, basically. In no shape or form in 1 month are you going to have 50 Zoom discussions. It isn't going to happen, folks. And if you've got the kind of fan base or leadership that would enable you to do that, you don't need to do it.
No, you don't. You just put up the course.
you just need to put up a landing page and the course, and you'll be on the. You don't need to do. If you've got the kind of where you can get 50 people to have a Zoom with you in 1 month, you don't need to do it anyway, folks.
That's a good point, Jonathan. That's a good point.
No, it's bonkers. It's totally, in my opinion, I've got to be careful. In my opinion, it's just misleading, and but the concept, there's truth in the concept. I just want to clarify something which Kurt pointed out, and I didn't clarify. When I said you can either, you know, some moderators on groups will get a bit iffy with you but on the other hand, there's the other way. You can initially answer the question and have a link, and I would use something like Bitly, so it isn't to your, so it can't be identified as going to your website, all right? And it will track it And it tells, and I would use Bitly. It's totally free, a free account. And for the different social media platforms, I would have a Bitly link for each social media platform. So then you can look, go into Bitly, and you can see which is generating the most clicks. And I would Bitify it, as I call it, and I would answer the problem. I'll just say, I've got more information here. And then I would put the link in. And I think most moderators, if you do it smart, and it is just the information and there's nothing else, it's just a landing page and you're not selling anything else initially, I think you're going to be okay. But what's your thoughts on that? Or do you think I'm not right about that?
I like the use of Bitly because it makes things easy and it doesn't take up a bunch of characters in your post and it's not so
in your face
and bold. I also like using individual links for the Bitly to track which ones are good hits and bad hits, because when you're just getting started, any hits are great hits. But as you get further down the road, you're going to have to start asking yourself, like, where does my traffic actually come from? So if you set it up correctly from the beginning and you analyze those channels down the road, you're going to be really thankful you did.
Right. So obviously there's different social media platforms are better for different groups. So there's two main differential buckets. There's B2B and there's B2C. B2B, business to business, or what your course is about, is going to be more business orientated. And then you've got business to consumer, which could be a lifestyle, health, those very popular membership course. Like I say, Kirk's written a great course, which is on Udemy, about LinkedIn, and that, in my opinion, is kind of more business to business. So can you give us an outline of what the main areas in your course on Udemy that you cover, actually? Can you give an outline of the different chapters in the course? And can you give an outline of why you wrote those particular chapters in your course?
Yeah, when you start looking at the actual coursework, a lot of what you're going to find in your discovery calls is that you initially...
Can you give a quick outline what's in the course though first?
Sure. It's like, what is LinkedIn, right? So what is the platform? What are the benefits of using the platform? And you have to go through that first iterations of content. You know, so what is it? What are the benefits of it? How do you connect to it? How do you build your profile? How do you get involved, you know, in community within the platform? And as you work through growing your use of LinkedIn, at the bottom, I have the last three or four lessons are, what are the common mistakes made using LinkedIn? And then you go through people that overpost, people that spam in the Messenger, people that use too long of a message in Messenger, because I believe you use Messenger more like a text instead of a paragraph thing. And the reason that I have lessons that start with, what is it? What's the benefit of it? How do you use it? All the way through to the end, is because a lot of course creators, you're an expert. So it's like the expert's curse. You come in thinking everyone's going to start at step five. You think everyone needs your course to start at step five and get somewhere, and you miss steps one through four. And so it's important to contact, you know, work with your community first, find out what the real pain points are, right? And then answer those pain points. In my particular case, when I started my LinkedIn course, I made this assumption that everybody was already on LinkedIn and was just struggling because they weren't getting, you know, their growth that they had wanted. And what I realized was a lot of people didn't even understand what LinkedIn really was as a social platform, and they didn't understand the benefit of using LinkedIn. I've talked to a lot of people since creating the lessons that would look at LinkedIn as, and LinkedIn's just the example course we're talking about, but they say LinkedIn isn't for them to personally brand themselves because they're corporately employed somewhere else. So they think it's more like an online resume service. That's not what LinkedIn is. It's a social networking platform for professionals.
It's morphed in it. I think, before I want to go into what I've learned by working with Kurt and how in the past 6 to 7 months I've really upped, and I think you would agree, I've really upped
your game
on LinkedIn. Would you agree with that,
Kurt? I would. Right.
Under your influence. So it's a great course, and it's on Udemy. How much is it, Kurt?
I think it's $19.95.
It's really great value, folks, and I'd highly advise you that if your target audience is this more professional audience, it could still, because it kind of covers B2B, but it also covers B to consumer if it's that more professional type of individual that you're going to find on LinkedIn. And I'm not being disparaging because I don't classify myself as professional in some ways. It's difficult to put it, isn't it? I'm just losing a little bit of track. So I think LinkedIn have really done some really great stuff, but it's just one area where I think they haven't done so well. I think they've engaged, it's the way that they've got the stream now laid out on the homepage is more interesting than it was previously. I think that you've got the new, you can post articles on your profile, and the editor, the mechanics of posting on LinkedIn is really easy, and it's really a nice editor. How you can embed YouTube videos and post on the platform, they made it super easy. And and you can use tags like on Twitter, and these make your articles and the pieces that you're posting more searchable. And I also upload video to natively. I think it's got to be less than 10 minutes. Is that correct? If you're uploading to LinkedIn, it's got to be a video of 10 minutes or less, or 15 minutes. I'm not sure, but there is a limit in time. But I think most of the videos that I upload are below 10 minutes because it's a short message, and I normally link it to a longer article that I've written on the website. And also they've introduced the newsletter element that I've been doing to a more targeted audience than my general newsletter that you can get by going to the WP-tonic/newsletter. I've got a more focused to a more specific group that people get through LinkedIn. And I think they've done a great job here, Kurt. The one area where they haven't done a great job is the group function, which was a great resource for LinkedIn, and they let that die. And I just don't understand why they let that happen. Have you got any insights yourself? Because I think it could be sustenance could be put into it, and it could be a great resource, because Facebook are doing, it's one of the few things about Facebook, if you're not paying, that's a great resource that's still on Facebook. Why was there a decline in the usefulness? I think it was the way groups were promoted, and LinkedIn decided to push, they weren't going to promote them or show the content that much, were they?
Since I don't work internally with them, I don't know what the drive was, but you are definitely right that, because I get very little traffic and I get very little leads coming in from my groups, but I get a lot from my personal profile.
I don't understand why they went that way, do you?
And I think that LinkedIn just really doubled down on that whole personal branding idea, and that it wasn't to be split up into like different company factions. That's just my
guess. Yeah, that could be it, couldn't it?
And then just to kind of clear for the listeners, and remember, I didn't think we were doing a review on LinkedIn and Facebook today.
I just wrote this at him, but you're the one that's written a course on it. So I thought we better, and it's linked to what we're discussing, isn't it?
If you upload video from your computer, you can upload 15 minutes.
Yes,
if, you
up,
If you upload video from your mobile device, it's only 10 minutes. So they have a difference based on how you upload. But remember, LinkedIn has a feature where you can broadcast live, and then they encourage you to make content that's longer than 15 minutes.
And that's what we're doing here, folks. We push it because we push it. If it's live, it can be as long as the live broadcast. The other fact, it's very similar to Facebook and other. If you natively upload, they're going to show the video to a lot more people. If you just put a YouTube link, it will show, but they're not going to show it to anything like the amount of people if you natively upload. I am correct about that, aren't I, Kurt?
Yeah. And if I could just be so bold as to recircle the wagon on the episode, we were talking about, you know, launching your course without a big audience, right? And without paying for ads. And then we have totally discussed social media and how to use social media to build your audience. But Jonathan, the next thing was pre-selling. Are you a fan of pre-selling?
Well, I think that's what you're doing with the lead magnet to build up your initial, and then that's really down to your minimum viable course, which I cannot emphasize that I'm a real believer. If you get anything from this show, folks, do not build War and Peace. Do not spend months on your first course. You need to get your first batch of students. You need to get feedback from those students. You need to interview them. You need to offer them a special deal. But part of that special deal is that after they've gone through the course, you're going to have a Zoom with them, and you're going to get what they liked about the course, what they didn't like about a course, what they think should be added to the course, which will then be your bigger course, which will be at a higher price, folks. And instead of guessing what should be in that course, you've actually got real research from users that have gone through the initial course and giving you honest feedback rather than rubbish. You're getting real analytical data from a small test group, but you're not going to get 50 people. You're not going to interview. And like I said earlier on, if you've got enough forum where you can have 50 interviews, you don't need to do any of this probably. I would advise you to do a minimum viable course, but you don't, you've probably got a big enough audience, so you don't have to spend too much to promote that initial minimum viable course to get your first students through it. But I don't care what, unless you're going to hire experts, and there's nothing's in concrete, but I think if it's your first attempt, no matter how big your audience, doing a minimum viable course is still a good idea. What do you reckon, Kurt?
It is. I'm also a fan of actual pre-selling. And I actually kind of coach some of my own clients on the pre-sale process. And so, for instance, the software that you give license to with WP Tonic, Lifter LMS, it has the ability to set in restrictions so that you can have an enrollment period and a course period. And you're able to pre-enroll students for a course that's not yet completed. And I think if you are dripping your content and you can throw out a couple of lessons and get people's feedback, it gives you that feedback you need to complete those lessons in the drip schedule. And it allows you to create revenue while building, which is another layer of conversation. But it's kind of like pre-selling a book. Like, you could be authoring a book, put out a sample paragraph, and then say, hey, you could pre-buy this book for $15, and then once it's actually published, you're going to sell it for $29. It's that same mentality. Give people the reason to come alongside of you and be vested in your project, and they'll become your ambassador in the process.
I think it's great. I think we're going to wrap up the show. So what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Kurt?
Well, I think we've already talked about LinkedIn today. So So I'm the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. When you find me, you know you got me. Hit that connection button. It's going to recommend that you follow, but go to more, hit connect, and let's have an actual connection. And then chances are we'll talk face-to-face on a Zoom call and see how we can help each other.
Yeah. And if you're looking for a great checklist, a great lead magnet, a PDF that goes through the key steps for building your initial course, your minimum viable course, we've got a great free resource. You just go to the wp-tonic.com. It's right on the homepage and you can just download it. And it's a really two-page checklist that goes through everything that you need to think about to do your first minimum viable course. And you can also book a free chat with me. It will be me that you'll talk to. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Hopefully I'm friendly, folks. And you can book that on the homepage, right on the homepage, a free chat with me. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions. And also you've got the Facebook group. So we offer a lot of free resources for you if you're looking to build your first membership website on WordPress. And I think you should really look at WordPress. We will be back next week with another, I think I've got a guest next week, a special guest. So it should be a great discussion. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.